Good af. No, I saw that.
And that pretty much sums up the tour.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or tablet or phone. I'm Austin Titchener, one-third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 443, Comedy Tour Recap. Our five-month UK tour of the complete history of Comedy Abridged comes to a close this week with performances at the Oxford Playhouse and the Castle in Wellingborough. It's been a fantastic tour, and the four guys have been amazing, so funny, so great together, such great representatives of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. Plus, they've been ably and at times heroically supported by the top-notch stage management team of Martin Bristow and Brian E. Lemon. I've been hugely proud of these guys and this production, and I'm so happy that Gary Fannin, Matt Pearson, Andy Hodges, Stephen Rostens, and Martin Bristow have recorded a final podcast for me about how it's all gone and how it's all wrapping up.
We're just in our last week of what has been a five-month tour of the Complete History of Comedy, Abridged tour of the UK and Ireland.
Briefly
in Ireland. Now we're heading down the M6, that broken backbone of the UK, which always has delays on it. So we have the whole company in the van here. There's Matt Pearson, who's...
Hello, I'm Matt Pearson.
Yeah, that's exactly what he sounds like. He's an old veteran. Well, he's old and a veteran of two wars. We also have...
Hi, I'm Stephen Rostens.
Of such films as...
I've not been in any films.
Okay, right, and...
I love that film. That's a great film.
That's a good film, yeah. And driving at the moment is Andy Hodges.
You damn kids, keep it down back there. I'm trying to concentrate.
And that's Andy. And we also have Bryony Lemon.
Hiya.
Lemon.
She says hi. She's in the back. She's our ASM, helps us backstage with all the costumes and pies, and she washes our underwear. And this is Martin Bristow. He's Scottish, so we'll speak slowly.
Hi, how are you?
And for those of you who don't speak Scottish, we will have subtitles. So, yeah. Matt, you've done the Shakespeare show before with us. We toured that. Well, it was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So how did it feel getting back with the company and doing this all again?
Great. Yeah. Fun. It's a different kind of show. It's the Shakespeare show. It's kind of. Exhausting as well, as these shows tend to be. But no, I've had a great time getting those Converse shoes back on again and hitting the road.
Yeah, and one of the things we said, because you play two roles. You play what we call the green role and also the black role.
Yeah.
So there's two of us. I also play two roles in this show, because that way we get to sort of swap around and there's no sort of understudy that's just sitting in the back of the van doing nothing.
Yeah.
And I remember when we started this, we both said, I'm really glad that Austin and Reed are getting a little bit older because they're not going to write as much physical stuff for us to do, right? Compared to the Shakespeare show, which is all over the place. But how have you found that?
Well, it hasn't quite worked out that way. Yeah, when I saw the show in Edinburgh, I thought, oh, thank God, it's much more sedate. But especially the green role that Steve and I do, it's exhausting. It's absolutely exhausting. You're sweating from start to finish, really.
Yeah, I just play the green role, which, because I don't like change, it frightens me. It's quite the workout.
First 20 minutes of the show is just non-stop.
Non-stop, running around, throwing on clothes, throwing them off again, running back on, changing hats. I've got a lot of respect for Mr. Dominic Conti, who does it in the US without... a rotating cast, so he must have more energy than any of us.
Yeah, because he made it look very easy in Edinburgh, and that was the reason why we were all, it's simple. But,
yeah, it'll be fine.
You know.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
and likewise, I mean, because I play Austin's character, what we call the black role, as does Matt EP. And the only thing about that, there's two bits in the show that still to this day make me a little bit nervous, and that is the Elixir of Laughs speech, which, if you haven't seen the show, it's a very dense, pattery sort of speech. Snake oil salesman selling his elixir of laughs. And the other one, of course, is the song Laugh Till I Cried, which again, one of Austin's signature batter songs. And even to this day, I think you do this too, Matt, but you know, during the intermission, during the interval, I always go through the song and the speech full.
Well, both of you do it every single
every
night.
Day, while, and you guys love listening to us there. Every single time.
Well, I just have a great time, because by the interval, my job is largely done, so I can just sit there and laugh. At you guys.
Well, that's the trade-off. Like we were saying, the green roll for the first half is exhausting, but the second half is not too bad.
Yeah, it's quite. It's not too exhausting. Yeah.
The big two chunks for the black roll are in the second half, and they're the really scary ones.
And the interesting thing also is because I also play Red, which is the Reed Martin role, as does Andy. We both play that role, and it's surprisingly, it's a much easier role physically. It's like, because you're not doing a lot. And I think Austin told me that originally the Elixir of Laugh speech was written for Reed to do. And in the workshop, somehow I got swapped around, and it ended up being an Austin thing. Because we often talked about should we give that speech back to the Red character? And in the end, me and Maddie P decided we liked it too much, so we didn't want to give it up. But how many venues have we done on this tour, Martin?
Too many.
Okay, yes. Now do pay attention. Now Martin is Scottish, so just bear with his negativity. So seriously, do you know how many venues we've done?
We will have done nearly 88 by completion of the tour.
88.
So nearly we still 88. Have. This is Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So. We still have six to go, so we've done 82 at the moment, I believe.
82, and we got 88. Now, out of a 5 month, that's a lot. And to be honest, I suspect, though, is this true? I wonder if we have, if this company, the UK company, has actually done this show more than Austin and Reed have. So that's something for Austin. Perhaps you can do some research, and maybe at the end of the podcast, tally up the totals and see who comes out on top. Yeah, see who won. Now, how have all the venues been? Because Martin, who's our company manager, he and Brian, they do all the get-ins, the fit-ups. They have to deal with the theater crews with unique spaces. How have you found? Like, what are some of the better venues that you think were a joy to be in?
We've had some lovely venues in this tour. We've had Inverness, I really enjoyed. It was nice to be in Scotland, and it's a fabulous theatre up in New Court. Derby the other day was just a joy. It's such a difference when a venue staff is really well prepared for you arriving, and you can tell in minutes. And this show has technical problems in terms of projection. We've got to get that lined up every day. We have a strobe light that's got to be programmed. And making sure all of that works for the show.
I think there's a lot more set up for this one than say, the Shakespeare show, which is just the drop and the lights. Really.
I believe so, yes.
Just like to point out at this stage that all of Martin's favourite venues so far have been venues where I wasn't performing. So I'm sure that's got nothing to do with it.
The majority of venues have been very nice.
But it is tricky, because some of the venues have been really hard, where it's you know, it's like, how do we... There's a part where some pages are supposed to fall from the sky, and we've had trouble rigging those up, because either there's no bars over our heads, or for whatever reason, it's just not practical. And we've had to... We throw them over the top?
Yeah.
That was a... last night, incidentally, Gary, that was... That was a spectacular throw.
He didn't quite clear the you know, what is it, 8 foot
clear.
It was hilarious. So last night we couldn't drop the pages from the rafters. So the backup for that is whoever's playing Red, and that was me last night, throws the pages over the top of this wooden frame that we have on stage. That was the dream. Now, I've done it. That was my third time. The first two times worked really well. Now, last night, I tossed the pages, and they all just, like a frisbee, not like a boomerang, they just came back at me. It's like I did the toss as I thought would be, you know, the best, you know, trajectory and velocity, and no, I just got completely wrong. Suddenly, I found myself in Australia, and the pages just came right back at me. I think there was like two that went over the top.
We have a line later on. Oh, Rambozo, you're the one who fluttered these pages from the ceiling like autumn leaves.
So tempting to change that line that night. I decided not to in the end.
Duggan, and I have been a fan of the RSC for 2 years now, and I'm an amateur actor working on becoming a voice actor, and you are listening to Reduced Shakespeare Company's podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week, our 88-city UK tour of the Complete History of Comedy Abridged concludes with final performances in Oxford and Wellingborough. But then, from June 10th to July 10th, we'll be doing a mini-reduced 20-city UK tour of the show that started it all, the first, the original, the complete works of William Shakespeare Abridged Revised. Plus, we have 15 new U.S. tour dates for the fall, this fall of 2015, and next April and May of 2016, we'll be performing the world premiere of our 10th stage show, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, at the Folger Shakespeare Theater in Washington, D.C. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
What other parts of the show have gone wrong or have been sort of little mess-ups or things that just that entertain us or made us laugh?
Well, I nearly fell over during Greeks last night. That's something that immediately pops to mind. We do. We have to do three bold steps forward in these Greek masks, and I stamped my foot on the last one and just completely unbalanced myself and just did a little stumble there. And nearly.
Okay,
came
so you nearly stumbled by walking.
By walking.
Okay, so I don't want to hear anything about these pages.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've become famous on this tour for my wardrobe malfunctions. I have trouble putting costume on. That's what I've learned.
And often sexy results, I must say.
Yeah, not quite Janet Jackson sexy, but there's been times when I've just been flailing around backstage trying to get my arms through the hole of a monk robe or something like that.
It is hilarious. I mean, that's some of my favorite bits backstage is watching Matt just struggle with costumes. Yeah. It's something very, very funny about
it. It's a problem for any actor, but especially for me.
Now, one of my other favorite parts of the show, which I think, again, scared us at the beginning, is the improv. Now, I think this is the first show where there's an actual improvisation bit. Now, all the other ones, they have elements where it feels like it's improvised or at least ad-libbed, but this is where we actually have a full, could be, what, 5 minutes of improvisation where we get two volunteers up and they provide sound effects for the scene and we get suggestions from the audience of a place and the title of a popular song and then we go with the improv. And we've had some interesting ones. Interesting volunteers as well. Sometimes they're great and they do amazing sound effects, which actually spur us on to come up with stuff. And then other times there's just nothing. I actually did stop an improv once and go, okay, wait, time out. And I turned to the volunteers and said, look, in case you didn't understand, you two provide all the sound effects, okay? And they just looked at me blankly, like I don't know.
Rabbits and headlights.
Yeah. Gary, can I just say my favorite one, because as Red, you get to watch this the whole time. You're not really doing it. So a few shows ago, set in a zoo, and I think you guys were supposed to be feeding gorillas or something.
Oh, wow.
But he just did impressions of Teletubbies for about 10 minutes, and it was amazing.
Nothing we said mattered. He just wanted to get up on stage and go, uh-oh, for 10 minutes.
Okay, so I think I was off that day. So what did you guys do? I mean, did you...
I can't remember.
We just had to pretend
that it was a very eccentric gorilla that we were dealing with.
Yeah, and there's certain themes that come up over and over again. I think we've had a zoo a few times. We've had a beach. People often say a beach, which is kind of difficult. I found beaches kind of awkward.
You can often insist on making it about World War II and storming the beaches.
That was amazing.
on more than one occasion... Gary'll just give me a wink. Yeah, I got something for this. And it's like, oh, we're on the beaches of Normandy, being attacked by
the suggestion at the start. And I'm thinking, beach. Oh, great! You can think of seagulls, ice creams, holidays. Nope, death on a beach.
I think the last time it was because I think the song. Yeah, there was a beach, and the song was Edelweiss. And of course, immediately I thought the Van Trapp family.
Van Trapp.
Yeah, you know that thing
from the Venn diagram family.
Yeah, I immediately. thought of them. I thought, of course, World War II. It makes total sense. No, it didn't make
it's,
any sense.
It's a real gold mine of comedy, you know, the D-Day landings.
Hilarious! It's always a big red light for you playing green when Gary winks at you as if you got something.
I got something.
Because you know, normally it's going to go in a really dark direction.
With Mr. Rostance here, it usually goes in a rather blue direction.
Hey. My favorite one was the Mexican one. Was that the environment was it a hospital? No, it was Mexico.
It was a hospital in Mexico.
A hospital in Mexico. And of course, naturally, the obvious thing is that of course you've fallen on a cactus and have to have it removed from your anus.
What?
Yeah. Obviously. Yeah. What? Who wouldn't put that together?
What else was I supposed to
do? My favorite image from that improv was Steve Rostance bent over with his backside pointing at Matty P going, "You just need to pull it out." I think the song was Hokey Cokey as well. The Hokey Pokey. And so, but Matt's body language was, "I just don't want to pull this out of your backside."
It's very much a metaphor for my career as a whole.
All the slideshows that we have, you know, and those are kind of harder to change because you got to reprogram the slides and all that stuff. But we were with the political situation and like the Lincoln speech, you know, where the Lincoln is talking about the different fools. Yeah. How many fools have we been through now? We've been through
quite a few. I mean, there's the one bit of the Lincoln bit that's changed the most, I think, is when we click on a slide of a person and say it is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. That changed from what was it at the beginning?
I'm trying to remember the very first
one. It was Farage.
Was it Nigel Farage? Yeah, and then we changed it to Katie Hopkins, who you guys in the States won't know who she is, and lucky you. She's basically a hate monger and just stirs stuff up.
She'd been like Bill O'Reilly.
Rush Limbaugh, that type of
Fox News.
Is she not like the UK's version of Westboro Baptist Church?
Yes, that's a very good way. That's a very good analogy. She is Westboro Baptist Church.
Personified.
But interestingly, it's like when we put her in, it wasn't quite the reaction we expected.
Well, I think what we discovered was people hate Katie Hopkins too much.
Yeah.
So like I said, this is the end of 5 months. It's a long tour because normally we do like 2 or 3 months. So,
yeah.
I think I speak on behalf of everybody saying, you know, we're a bit tired. It's still fun doing the show for certain audiences. Again, like all these shows, if you get one of those audiences that just isn't responding, it's really hard work. The opposite of that, obviously, is when you get a fantastic audience that just feeds you so much. It's a joy, absolute joy to do.
Also, if you're in some of the great old theaters as well, like when we were in Leeds, what's that place called?
It was like the City Varieties. Yeah,
like one of the last music halls still working, and Harrogate, that was also amazing. Beautiful theaters, great people. I mean, it's great then. It's amazing.
Touring around the UK, obviously, there's so many fantastic.
The show has gone down really well in Yorkshire. I don't know why that is. All the Yorkshire audiences have been.
After this, we've got a month of the Shakespeare tour going out, and then that's it for a while. So,
And then we're unemployed until Austin and Reed write another show.
So get on with it. Hurry up. I need to pay my rent.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Hopefully, our new show, William Shakespeare's long-lost first play, Abridged, will be something these guys can perform in the UK shortly after we premiere it in the States in 2016. Send us your end-of-tour wrap-up via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, Teletubby Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to GM Palmer. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to big Reduced Shakespeare Company fan Andrew Duggan. Thanks also to Gary, Matt, Andy, Stephen, Martin, and Bryony for all their hard work on this tour. And finally, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Tishner, 443/1329 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Anything else to add? Any final thoughts as we say goodbye to to...
Oh, I went to the Shmulevitz collection of wit and humor in San Francisco. I had a little holiday vacation to San Francisco in the middle of this tour, and I went to the Shmulevitz collection, which if you've seen the show, you'll know is featured. It's where we find the Art of Comedy, the book. And yeah, I went there, and it was...
And was there a man in a black bowler hat?
No. There was a very nice lady sitting behind a counter, and I actually went up to her and I said, "Hello, I'm looking for the Shmulevitz collection of wit and humor." And it turns out there was a little exhibition on, otherwise there's nothing really to see, but there was a nice little exhibition about comic books, so I had a look at that. And that's my awesome story. The whole thing suddenly made sense.
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.